Ever dreamt of sitting back on a Friday night drinking a glass of wine whilst watching your ticket sales just flow in effortlessly? Well, now you can with StageStubs, the UK's leading dance ticketing software. No more long nights sitting on a small table in your studio, collecting money behind a tower of tickets, hiding from a queue of parents that goes beyond your front door. And best of all, StageStubs is completely free for you to use. You get 100% of the ticket face value in your pocket. Not only is it quick and easy for you to use, it's quick and easy for your customers to use too. Your attendees can purchase tickets while at work or in bed directly on their mobile, 24 hours a day, right up until the day of your show or event. If you're not using StageStubs to sell your dance show tickets, you really are missing out, guys. Getting started couldn't be easier. So sign up for your free StageStubs account today at www.stagestubs.com. Check it out. Welcome to the Dance School Startup Mini Podcast, bringing you bite-sized advice each week to help you at the start of your dance school's journey. My name's Laura Gillam, and I've been a dance teacher for over 20 years and a school owner for over 14 years. I'm so excited to support you on your journey, and I look forward to getting to know you more in the Dance School Startup Facebook group. Welcome to day one of the Dance School Startup Power Up. I am so excited to give you 3 days of bite-sized training, 3 mini challenges to help you on your journey of becoming your dream dance school. I'm hoping I'm live. I'm hoping this is all working. If you're watching live, type in the comments, or if you're catching up, write catch up, just so I can see who's joining in, hold you accountable. I hope you have a pen and paper and a cuppa ready. So let's get started with day one. So day one is all about streamlining your signups. This is a biggie, guys. This session is all about either creating your process or challenging your current student sign-up process to improve it and get clear on what message it sends about your school to a prospective client. Now, ultimately, this is the first time a prospective client is going to have any personal interaction with you. And as we all know, first impressions are extremely important. So no wonder we feel the pressure to get it right, because it can be a complete deal maker or breaker as to whether you welcome a new student to your dance family or not. If we get it right, a student can stay with us as long as 15 years. And of course, that's a lot of revenue. So the incentive is definitely there. So how can we ensure we create a smooth process, both for the student and for you? Now, I want to remind you that choosing a dance school can be a really important, it's an important moment in a lot of people's lives. But I especially want to draw your attention to two occasions that are particularly important to look out for. I feel like these situations are going to need a little bit more nurturing. So number one is a younger child attending their first ever dance class. Now, regardless of age, this can be a nerve-wracking time for a student and a parent. They're desperate to get it right, they want to make it a good experience, but a younger child will need a decent amount of prepping before their first class to make it special, make them feel prepared, comfortable, at ease. You want to be able to make it as magical and memorable for them and their parent as possible. So that's definitely number one. And scenario number two is if they're coming to you and leaving another dance school that they've been at for a long term. Now, this scenario tends to require a bit more hand-holding, feeling like they're starting again. I mean, especially if the student is a serious-minded student and they're serious about their training, they don't want to make the wrong decision. And it's worth considering how that might be making them feel, and you can put their mind at rest. Talk to them on a level, reassure them that they can trust you, but without being too salesy or falling into a trap of negative conversation about their previous teacher or school. I mean, it goes without saying that you always want to remain neutral. So there are two scenarios during a sign-up process that may need a little bit more support from you, and they're important to look out for. So I'm going to talk you through my basic framework. It seems sensible to share this with you. I've essentially been improving and building upon this for the past 14 years. So it makes sense to share this information, and you can adapt this as you go. So to sign up or join the waiting list at my school, they apply online through my website. Now, I always make sure every single person does it this way, so nobody sneaks through the net. So even if I have a phone call, an email conversation, a text, a DM, it doesn't matter which channel they've contacted me through, I'm still going to make them go through the website to finalise it and fill out my form. So I trust that I've got all the details that I need. I've got no bits of paper being lost or emails going missing, or I mistakenly deleted that text. And then my website takes them straight to a Google form. Now, we all know she's a big fan of the Google form, but I like it because it's simple. But this form, it's not too long, and that's really important because you don't want to overwhelm anyone with too many questions. They don't want to have to physically do too much to sign up with you. You want to make it really easy. Now, for those of you who aren't familiar with Google Forms, because I know a couple of you aren't, that form is then linked directly to a Google Sheet. Answers load on the sheet, which wherever I am, either on a desktop or mobile device. That's how I personally do it. And it works really well for me. If you don't have a dance school managing software or yours doesn't offer this as an option, it's a simple and effective way of just collecting and storing information. Now, that sheet where the information appears has an extra column which I use for notes, so I know exactly what stage a student is at in the sign-up process. It is imperative that you have some sort of system for knowing which stage each new sign-up is at, especially as you get bigger and busier, because consistency is key, and having a system is going to keep you organised, not let you wing it. Now, as soon as I receive a new sign up on that form, we send them email number one, which is acknowledgement. Now, this is really important because I know myself, the amount of times that I've sent emails to a company, had no acknowledgement, and I have no idea what to do next. Now, if you leave it too long, they're going to look elsewhere. So strike while the iron's hot, because they're clearly interested in your school. So now is the time to sell to them. The acknowledgement email confirms their form has been received, and then it explains what's going to happen next. It's going to be a mixture of acknowledgement and then the content that I would have in my next email, which is the class offer. So you might include this next piece of information in that first email if you're going to offer straight away. So my email too is the class offer, and there are two versions of this. We have a version which explains that the classes they're interested in are full, and a version where we're able to offer them a space. But regardless of whether there's a space, you need to take the opportunity there to upsell other classes to them that they may not have originally inquired about, because you want to bring their attention to all the different things you offer at your school that they might have missed. And even if they say no now, guys, it plants a seed that that class exists and that there's space in it. If they like the classes that they try with you, they're only going to be tempted to do another class if they know about it. So don't miss an opportunity there to sell another class without having to sound too salesy. There's been a lot of occasions, each intake, where I can't offer them the class that they want. So they take something else just to get started with us. And then once the class they originally wanted is available, 9 times out of 10, they're going to keep both. That's obviously an instant win. So definitely think about that when you're offering a class. Now, when offering that class, keep it simple, keep it bullet pointed, make sure they can see the key facts. When is the class? Where is the class? And include any relevant parking information. That could be really important depending on where you are. If you've got a car park, great, but we don't have a car park, so I have to direct them to over the road, we have a Morrison's, so that's a really easy place for people to stay. What time does the class start and finish? who is their teacher so they know their name in advance, how much is the class, and how do they pay you, what can they wear to their first session with you, and of course, what is their actual start date. Don't assume that they know any of this information. Finally, give them a time limit on how long they have to get back to you, and make sure you update your system with the date you sent this email. This is going to encourage them to act quicker on signing up with you, or it's going to give you a timestamp on when to chase them if they don't reply. Now, my email 3 depends on what comes back from that class offer. So ultimately, it could be yes to the classes offered, no, I don't want anything, they don't suit my needs, I can't make the time, whatever, or yes to some of the classes that you've offered me. So you might have offered them the original one and some extras, but they didn't want to try the extras yet. They just wanted to go with the original. Now, if you aren't able to make it work, you need to be asking them if they're happy to remain on your waiting list or subscription list. So you can let them know when a space is available and you can keep the door open just in case they don't find anywhere else before you're able to help them. And obviously, sometimes they will go elsewhere, but having them agree to keeping in touch with you is just an opportunity. If they aren't perhaps sure about the place they end up going to, you might still have a foot in the door to get them in for a trial. Now, if they say yes, you got yourself a sign up. That's what we want, guys. So when they've confirmed that they want to go ahead with some or all of the classes you've offered, this bit is the best email in your framework. It needs to be full of excitement, gratitude. It needs to give all the information they need again and in the simplest form. So even if you've already told them the class time, the teacher name 3 times, give it to them again. Make sure they've got it all there that they need. And this is also the email where I attach the school handbook that we have for them to read through before their first lesson. It's got loads of glossy pictures of the kids, and I stick to all the good stuff about the school, our ethos, uniform, merchandise, the experience that they're going to receive in their time with us. And then I keep all the legal stuff like child protection policies, health and safety stuff, all that kind of legal wordy stuff. I keep that separate. I direct them to my website and they can access that information in a parent login. My handbook is very upbeat, positive, and gives all the good stuff. And then the 4th and final email in this series is sent a couple of days before they come to their trial. And this email is just a simple reminder that they're coming along. It's a friendly, can't wait to meet you email. It's more out of courtesy, but it's a nice touch. So they are the 4 emails that I use to get them in the door. Acknowledge, offer, sign up, reminder. Okay. But now let's say you've signed them up. They've come to a trial. They love it. Now what? Well, the next correspondence depends massively on your school structure. So for me, we do a 2-week trial. And after the 2 weeks, we get in touch and we find out how they enjoyed it. We check in with them. If all is well, we issue them an invoice for the remainder of the half term that we're in. And then they're finally entered officially onto the school system. They're now fully signed up. And now all of these emails have been fine-tuned over the years, but we still continue to improve on them all the time. And it may sound a lot by like me talking you through this process, but actually this whole process is quick, easy, efficient, because you have templates for everything. Every time you write in the email during this process, you save it, you update as you go, and you just personalize it to each inquiry. But this system, it ensures you maintain good communication with a student from day one. Going back to what I said at the beginning, first impressions are so important. This level of quality communication shows how efficient you are, that you're reliable, you're organized, and that's such an important factor when choosing a new hobby or activity. Now, if you're interested on how I run my trials, we offer 2 weeks. They pay on the door without commitment. I don't do free trials at all. That's personal choice. I understand that when you're starting out, you may be inclined to offer a free trial, but consider changing that when you're a little bit more established, if you can, because people are much more likely to turn up for a trial if they pay for it, or even if you just charge them a very discounted payment. It's something just for you to consider. I have a really good level of people turning up for their sign up trial, sorry. And I know that in the past, when I first started out, I did offer it for free and we would have a lot of no shows. So that's worth thinking about. And now finally, guys, I also want to touch on how you come across when you're talking to prospective clients, because it's important to think about that. I definitely fell into the trap of trying to tell them everything we do at the school in the first conversation when I first started out. And guys, it was just my passion coming out. I was so passionate about it all. I was so excited. I wanted to share that with them, to impress them with what you offer. Make sure you listen to what they do. They probably don't care if you have an elite teenage ballet team if they're five and they want to do drama. So cater to their needs. When you're selling, try not to talk at them because you're so passionate about everything. Listen and be clever while you're thinking, while you're listening, about how you can cater your offer to what they need. And ask questions. Ask questions about what they enjoy doing, or if the child's danced before, if it's a child. Or if you're talking to a parent, why not ask if they've danced before? Strike up a connection. People like people. So, you know, don't be afraid to have a little chat as the principal. As long as you're professional, people will love you and love your enthusiasm as you talk about your school and the wonderful environment that you're creating. So I hope that you enjoyed that and you got some useful information. I'm going to talk to you now about today's mini challenge. A bit of homework, guys. So listen up. I want you to sit down today at some point, and I want you to draw up like a flow chart of your current sign-up process from start to finish. If you don't have one, I want you to create a basic one. So by getting it out in front of you on paper, you're going to see any weak areas. Say that most of the time we're going to find a little something you can improve on. And now is the perfect time, while you're in the zone, to get clear on the experience that your clients will have from when they first inquire to when they're fully signed up. So give as much detail on each stage of the process as you like. Get really, really clear. Perhaps even print out some of your emails you've been using, or begin writing up your templates if you're starting from scratch. Just simple exercises like this, guys, they always get results because they force us to see where there's room for improvement. That's it for today, guys. Thank you so much for joining me. I hope that's been food for thought. And as always, I look forward to seeing you in the group. Have a great day, guys. Bye-bye.
Okay, guys, I want to introduce you to Dance Cuts, which is a new music editor made specifically for dancers and dance teachers just like us, so that we can edit and mix our own dance music. It's free and it's super easy to use. This user-friendly editor makes it so easy just to add music, add high-resolution sound effects, change speeds, and it's got dance-specific features that you're not going to find anywhere else. And there are no confusing buttons or tools, and they even have built-in tutorials that make this easy system even easier to learn. It's letting us make perfect music for our perfect dances. Dance Cuts is revolutionising the way that we cut our music. No more having to pay an expensive professional to get results that perhaps weren't what we were envisioning. I'm starting to use Dance Cuts now for all of my music editing, and I think you guys should give it a go. You can learn more and download Dance Cuts by going to www.dancecuts.com. Check it out. Thank you so much for joining me for today's podcast. I hope you found that useful and took away some valuable information. If you're enjoying this podcast, I would love it if you could like and subscribe. And if you're listening on iTunes, perhaps even leave me a little review or share it with someone else who you think it may benefit. If you're just starting out or in the first 2 years of your dance school business, follow the link in the show notes to join us at the Facebook group.